Welcome to the Bible Foundations program. I'm your host, Jerry Smythe, and it's my delight to have you here with me to look at what the Bible is all about. The Bible Foundations program will present for you a panoramic view of the Bible, God's Word, and it'll be giving it to us in chronological order, in the way that God unfolded the revelation of Himself to mankind. Did you ever wonder why the Bible is the bestseller of all time? What is it all about anyway? Where did it come from? Who wrote the Bible? Why was the Bible written? And how can I know it's true? Does it mean anything to me today? Well, that's what today's broadcast is all about. We want to have a good look at the Bible and answer some of those questions. Now, in the days ahead on our Bible Foundations programs, we'll be answering other questions like, what about God? Is He really alive today? What does He think about me? And are there really angels? Is there really a devil? Why is it important to know God and what pleases Him, what gives Him joy, and what makes Him angry? Why should I believe the Bible account of creation? And what about those heroes of the faith that we've heard so much about? Did those things really happen? Well, we're going to have a good look at God's Word, for the Bible is a big book, and this particular broadcast is specifically addressing the foundations that are necessary to understand the important things that God wants to reveal to you and I today as He unfolds His Word to us. You see, the Bible is a big book, and many people get bogged down. I talked to a lady not too long ago who very enthusiastically began reading the first part of Genesis and got as far as Genesis 3:15, and she just bogged down right there, not understanding what that was all about. Well, that's a very important key point of the Bible. It's a critical area, and we'll understand a little more about that a little bit later on in our studies. But you see, if we lay the foundations of God's Word and understand those first, then the pieces will begin to fit together. And that's what the Bible Foundations program is all about. Now, let's point out that the Bible is important because it is God's message to each one of us. A person can spend a lifetime enjoying the study of the Bible. But it's our particular objective to examine some of the basic things that the Bible teaches and to understand basic truths that will begin to help the whole picture make sense to us. Now, we're going to study who God is and what He does. God really wants us to get to know Him. That's why He gave us the Bible. You see, God is the central character of the Bible. As we study, you'll learn what He's really like, who He is, what He does, and what He's like in His personality, that He is indeed living, and that He has unusual character and power compared to our understanding. And God then will be the main focus of our Bible study, who He is, and what, and the fact that He is the main focus of it all. You see, the Bible is not just a book of doctrines or teachings about God. It's the story of history as seen from God's perspective. God is recounting the history from its very beginning. Therefore, in our study of the Bible, we're going to walk through history and to speak, and to see little by little what God reveals about His own character, about Satan, and about mankind. We're going to study the Bible in chronological order. That is the order in which the events took place. Now, you might say that we're going to study the Bible in a way that's kind of like stretching out a clothesline across the room of your mind. So take a clothesline and just kind of hang it up there and be ready to hang the events of the Bible in chronological order, in the order that they took place. And we're going to select those basic events that are critical for our understanding that may or may not include some of the details you know about the Bible. But if you have a clear understanding of the basics that we're going, the foundational truths that we're going to look at, all of the pieces of the Bible will begin to fit together when they're hung in place properly. So hang your clothesline out there and come along with us as we have a panoramic view of the Bible. Now, as we hang our foundational truths on that line, it'll be a timeline indeed of Bible history. And you see, building our foundations of understanding on the Bible are a little bit like building a house. It's important that we lay the foundations first. Then the structure can be added on top of the firm foundation, one piece at a time. If the foundations aren't first properly built, the rest of the house will be structurally weak. And that's what we find happening today, is that there are structurally weak understandings of what God has to say to mankind today. And we want to see those foundations firmed. And so listen carefully and follow along. Have your Bible nearby. We'll be skimming the surface of the events, but yet laying foundations of understanding from the Bible. You see, the Bible is rich and deep in content and themes, but we're only going to skim the surface and not be able to take the time to go into the vast wealth of the Bible. We're only going to pick the foundational truths that will help us answer the questions that come later on. Now, often in the Bible, you find more than one theme. Some of these themes and questions are in the same Bible verse. And how can we know what it's saying? Well, when we lay the foundations of these truths, that'll help us to discern just exactly what God is saying to you and I. Now, some of the themes and questions and answers begin at the earliest parts of the Bible and continue through its closing pages. Often you'll find two or more themes or questions addressing one portion of Scripture. This could be confusing, and indeed it has been to many people. One example of this confusion is that the Bible addresses three major issues about the topic of sin. The first issue that it addresses is what God has done so people can be saved from the first great problem that sin has caused. Another issue that's dealt with is what God has done to set people free from sin controlling their lives. And thirdly, what God will do so people will be completely free from all the problems that sin has caused. Mixing these three issues has been one of the major contributing factors to the existence and the increase of many different cults and religions, as well as denominations. You see, we too will get confused unless we tenaciously stick to the issue of what God has done so that people can be saved from the first great problem that sin has caused. Now, open your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to your table of contents. We don't want to presume knowledge of the Bible here, so we'll start by just laying a little foundation of understanding concerning what's inside the pages of this book. Now, you'll notice on your table of contents that there is a section called the books of the Old Testament and the books of the New Testament. In the books of the Old Testament, there are 39 books, each divided into chapters and verses. When we look for an address in the Bible, we're talking about chapters and verses, finding the location of what God has said in a particular book or chapter from a book. So, in the Bible then, you find on the left column there, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. These are known as the books of the law, the Pentateuch. They were written by Moses. Then we have the books of history. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. These are all called books of history. Then there are the books of poetry. We fondly think of not only Job, but the Psalms and the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon. And many times when we don't know where to turn for strength and help, we turn to the Psalms and Proverbs or the sufferings of Job to help us be comforted from the message that God has to other people and also relates to us. Then there are the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. These are all what we call major prophets. And then finally in the New Testament are the many smaller books known as the minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Then we move on to the New Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. And of course, the most well-known are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then followed by the Gospels is the book of Acts. The Acts, the events that took place of the apostles following the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the epistles that are written to the different people in different parts, many of them written by the Apostle Paul. Some of the other disciples wrote some of the others. The epistle to the Romans, for example, was Paul's letter to the people that were at Rome, and also to the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then we come to the pastoral epistles, which are 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Then there's Philemon and the book of Hebrews, which was written specifically to the Christian Jewish people. And then the book of James, written by the brother of our Lord Jesus. 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and finally Revelation. Revelation is the New Testament book of prophecy, which tells us many of the events which are about to happen. That's one of the reasons we want to lay some foundations, so that we can understand the events that are going to take place in the very near future. So thank you for coming along with me on this Bible excursion. Now, let's have a look at what the Bible has to say to you, to you and I. Now, it's important to understand when we open the Bible that it's not just an ordinary book. It is the Word of God. You see, God is supreme and sovereign, and His intent in the Bible was to communicate with man. And it's important that we understand that it is God communicating with you and I. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, God spoke to men who were called prophets, and He gave these prophets, they were called that because they were men who believed God. When God revealed Himself to others previously, they believed that message, and now they were men whom God could trust with the exact messages that He wanted written down. Now, sometimes He spoke to these people audibly. Sometimes He spoke to them in visions, and sometimes He put the message directly into their minds. You see, God caused the prophets to write exactly what He spoke to them. Another passage of Scripture that confirms this is found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. It says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, God wrote the Bible. He had it written down by men whom He instructed to write just exactly the way that they did. And the Scripture is not of any private interpretation, but it was given by men whom God instructed to write down what He wanted. And that's why we know that the Bible is reliable. You see, it was not written by men who just came up with ideas on their own, but it was instructed by God. And these special men wrote down exactly what God wanted them to write. You see, the Bible is not men's ideas, but it is God's own word. Now, one of the proofs of that is the fact that it was written over a period of 1600 years by over 40 different men. You see, the Bible is the only book in the world that's been authored by God, but He used people to write it down. These 1600 years in which the 40 different writers of the Bible lived were quite a vast expanse of time. And yet the Bible continues to complement itself. The Bible has absolute unity from the beginning to the end because God is the author. Now, if several people were standing and witnessing the same incident, such as we see reported in so many of our television episodes today, we'd find that different witnesses have different perspectives and different understanding of what they actually saw. And that's the unique thing about the Bible, is while it was written in vastly different cultures and different times by different men, it's one unit. It complements itself. It reconfirms itself from beginning to end. And that's why we place so much importance on the Bible being a commentary on itself. You see, the unity of the Bible can only be explained by the fact that it has one author, and that one author is God. Now, God so delighted in communicating with you and I in His sovereignty and in His supremacy, He desired to communicate with us through real live people. So you know what He did? He used a particular group of people so that the continuity of Scripture would be preserved. That what He actually wrote, God had a plan from the very beginning. And He used people to explain Himself to you and I today. Now, when the people wrote the Bible down, all but one of them were Jewish people. Over that period of 1,600 years, 40 different people, all but one of them were Jewish people. God revealed Himself to us through the nation of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, God says of the Israelis, the Jewish people, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Now, if you look at a map, over at the Mediterranean Sea, on the far right end of that sea, is the tiniest little nation known to us as Israel. And it's interesting that such a small nation would command so much of the world's attention. Why is it that this small country has such an effect on world relationships and world events, even yet today? Well, it's because these are the people that God chose to reveal Himself to the rest of the world. And they've had a position of prominence and continue to do so today because of the promises of God to them and through them to you and I. It's critical that we understand that Israel is a key in the revelation of God to us today. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, God says, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." You see, God's word was given to Israel, and from Israel it was given to the whole world. You might say that Israel was God's megaphone broadcasting God's message to the whole world. Now, because God committed His word to be passed down to us through the Jewish people, they took it very seriously, and the Bible has been passed down to us intact with extreme accuracy. You see, God doesn't change, and it was important that His message be preserved so that we would have something that just doesn't change with everybody's desire. Originally, God's prophets wrote the message down, and the original documents were worn out from use and age, and new copies had to be made. And copying was done with extreme care. Here's what the Illustrated Bible Dictionary has to say about how the Bible was cared for so particularly when the copies were made. It says, "They used every imaginable safeguard, no matter how cumbersome, no matter how laborious, to ensure the accurate transmission of the text. The number of letters in a book was counted, and its middle letter was given. Similarly, with words, and again, the middle word of the book was noted. If this was not accurate, when it was even folded in the middle, then it was thrown away, and a new copy had to be handwritten." You see, though every word was hand-copied, there are more ancient manuscripts of the Bible than any other ancient document in the world. In fact, today, 95% of all the New Testament documents found today agree with the text used to translate our authorized English Bible. What a marvelous thing it is that God has gone to such care to preserve His word. Now, in 1947, about 15 miles from Jerusalem, a shepherd boy threw a rock into a cave, hoping to scare out some animals. He heard the sound of pottery breaking and went inside to investigate. And to his amazement, he beheld the pottery urns holding ancient manuscripts. When he reported his find, this find came to be known to you and I as the Dead Sea Scrolls. They'd been hidden in the caves by some religious sect sometime before the first century of before Christ. At the time of this discovery, translators were using manuscripts which had been copied in about 900 AD. When scholars compared the Dead Sea Scrolls with the manuscripts which they'd been using, there were no significant details in the text. Though separated by 1,000 years, these ancient manuscripts said the same thing: God preserves His Word. You see, He's preserved it for you and I still today. Again, the Bible Illustrated Dictionary gives us more insight concerning the Old Testament texts. We read, "It's important to recall the attitude of the Jews toward their scriptures. It can best be summed up by the statement of Josephus, a Jewish writer in the first century, who said, 'We have given practical proof to our reverence for our own scriptures. For although long ages have now passed, no one has ventured either to add or to remove or to alter a syllable.' And it's an instinct with every Jew to regard them as decrees of God." Well, that's an interesting perspective. For you see, it was God Himself who told the Jewish people in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, and then over in the Proverbs 30, verse 5, it tells them not to add to or take from the Word of God. It was considered indeed Holy Scripture. It was considered indeed the most important message to mankind and needed to be handled accordingly. But how did we get the Bible into our language? You see, for many centuries, only a few people had the Bible, and only a few were able to have those copies because they were handwritten. In the time of Christ, scribes kept the scrolls, that is, the rolls or parchment of leather on which the text was written, they kept them in the temple. And many of the New Testament books were originally written as letters, as we've already explained, which circulated from one church to the other. You see, the original texts of the Bible were written in one of three languages, either Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. And down through the ages, God has enabled men to translate the Bible into different languages. Many of the copies of the ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts are still in existence today, and in fact have been found as recently as 1992, 5,000 new copies that confirm the things that we've already mentioned. And so translators have been able to study these copies as they translate the Bible. You see, the Bible has been translated into more languages than any other book. Well, one of the unique things about the Bible is that it is indeed an accurate historical record. Archaeological discoveries in recent years have revealed many pieces of ancient information that agree in minute detail with the Bible. The places, for example, cultural details, the names, the dates, writings contemporary with the Bible agree with the historical detail, the cultural information, and writing style, and so on. You see, over the years, thousands upon thousands of archaeological and historical evidences relating to the Bible have been uncovered, and all of these support the accuracy of the Bible. God has preserved His Word. In Archaeology and Bible History, Joseph Free wrote, "Numerous passages of the Bible which long puzzled the commentators have repeatedly yielded up their meaning when new light from archaeological discoveries have been focused on them. Archaeology has confirmed countless passages of the Bible." It's an interesting thing that this has happened so frequently that today many archaeologists are looking at the Bible first and then going to find the location that they wish to study, as they uncover new things that confirm what the Bible has already said. As we see, as we'll study in future lessons, we'll discuss some of these other archaeological and historical discoveries. Many of the cultures and places and names mentioned in the Bible are visible today, having remained almost unchanged over the centuries. You see, the Bible has withstood the test of time because God does not change, and He wrote the Bible. New discoveries only serve to echo and reinforce the absolute accuracy, authority, and authenticity of every word God has given us in His book. By contrast, books written by men, such as school textbooks, reference books, scientific texts, they all must be drastically changed every few years because we learn more and old theories are replaced with new. But the Bible has not, and it will not change, because God is its author. Let's read. Psalm 119:89 tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Boy, there's a commentary on the Bible, isn't it? The Bible has the answers to the most important questions of life. You see, it's been settled by God in heaven. He's given us His Word, and the Bible is not just another religious book. Many men have written books trying to tell them about God, but God is the author of the Bible, and in it He reveals Himself to us. In the Bible, God tells us who He is and what He wants us to know about Him and what He is like. In the Bible, God tells us about ourselves, our relationship to Him and to the world around us, to one another, and both for now and for all eternity. You see, the Bible addresses issues with absolute authority. Why? Because God is the author of the Bible, and God is supreme and sovereign, and He communicates with man. He communicates so thoroughly with man that here's what He says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 concerning the writings of Scripture. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, the Bible is God's voice speaking to us. Through His word, He shows us what we're really like inside. The Bible is God's message to each of us, you see. It is the most important message we'll ever be given. Why is it important for you and I to study the Bible? Why should we take the time to study the Bible? Well, a lot of other things call for our attention, all right, but the Bible is critical. The Bible gives us God's Word. There are lots of other things we can spend our time on, but the Bible is unique. The Bible alone is God's message for our lives today. The Bible alone tells us what God thinks of us and what He sees as our greatest need. You see, the Bible is important because it is God's message to each one of us. It's God's message to the young, the old, the man, the woman, the child. God wrote the Bible to each one of us personally, and God wants you and I to know what is in His book. That's why He wrote it.